anniversaries.
It's hard to plan a schedule when it comes to weekly messages. It truly is, because what typically happens is you don't get as far as you want, or something comes into a message and you've got to go over it again. And I'm kind of that way a little bit this morning. You know, a couple weeks ago, and we did for a couple weeks, we talked about, of course, the Beatitudes, and then last week we talked about being salt and light. And I talked about the importance of salt as we flavor the world around us, and how important that is. But something I didn't get to and didn't mention, which Frank reminded me of this week, was the preservation side of salt. The salt preserves. It's always been a great preservative. And using salt as a preservative in our lives and as Christians and what we do, I thought that was an area that I needed to go to today. And I think that there's going to be some things. I'm going to be talking to everyone today, but I'm really going to be talking a lot to young people, and a lot of you that are still in school, because I think it's important that we talk about a few subjects that maybe you're not hearing today. And maybe you're hearing them from mom and dad, but you want to need to hear them from pastor too. So pastor's going to share some of those things. And we believe that, of course, we're to be salt and light. We'll go back into Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt shall lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. So he talked about not losing your flavor as salt, being out there where people can sense and know who you are and know who Jesus is, and they can see that in your life, and it's something desirable. You enhance and flavor the world around you, and that's what we're called to do. But there's something else that we need to do. We need to preserve what we know and who we are. And I do want to talk about that a little bit, the preservation of it. We seem to be, in a sense, in our culture and in our country and in the world, where there's a lot of, especially in this country, there's a great exodus from the church and from young people going through school and not coming back to church, being taught differently. And I wanted to touch on some of that this morning that I think is really important. You know, there's a passage that I touch on quite a bit, and I even talked about it several weeks ago when I read the letter to you from John Tomaso, or David Tomaso, excuse me, and talked about how, you know, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, how as parents we're supposed to teach our children diligently, and we're to have those things around us all the time in our homes, on the doorpost of our house. In this scripture in the Old Testament, they talked about, you know, having it on your forehead everywhere, and just hear the word of God and see it and know it. And we need to do that. We need to not literally write them on your doorpost. You can if you want. But the fact is, we're supposed to teach diligently to our young people the truth so they know it. And it's so important. I heard an interesting, I was listening to a show the other day, and the guy was talking about the importance, the thing that we're to do, the first thing that God established, actually, for all of us, was the family. And the family unit is extremely important, or God wouldn't have put it first. But beyond that, we're to trust God. We're to know that it's true. We're to listen to our parents. But we're to educate. Parents, whether you like it or not, you're an educator. And you need to realize that and educate your children. I had this guy that I was listening to the other day was talking about, where do you send your kids to school? And that's a great, he said, if you want to stir up a big argument in your church, toss out there, should our kids be in a private school, homeschooled, or public school? And boy, will you get the argument. You know, some people are going to be very adamant no matter what camp they're in. But he finished up with something I thought that was very, very important. He said, there isn't an answer, but whatever the answer is, you have to decide as a parent, where can I disciple my children the best? What is going to give me the best way to disciple my children? And the key to that is, if your kids are in public education, you better be discipling a lot at home. If your kids are in a private school, you better be discipling a lot at home. And if your kids are in a Christian school, you better be discipling a lot at home. See, depending on where our kids go does not release us from the responsibility of teaching and letting them know the truth. With that being said, we are in a difficult culture. I want to read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And this is this young people. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Teaching correctly. In the King James Version it says, study to show yourself approved. See, there's this thing that we have to do in the Word of God. It's called study it and know it. And there's all kinds of things out there that allow us to do it. I had this discussion the other day with someone, and the easiest way to control people is to control what they know. You know, we've always been a country and a people that has thrived on not necessarily controversy, but conversation, debate, open debate, debating things. We debate, we look at this, we look at that, and we debate the two and decide which one works for us and which one doesn't. In science, you can't have true science without debate, because you have to compare one thing to another thing and how and why. When you close debate completely, you take away that choice completely. So I find it interesting that we are called by those in the church as being closed-minded many times. We are unintelligent, uneducated. I mean, the list can go on and on. But I find that today in the school, in our state-run school, what they've done is they've taken away the ability for your young people to debate truth by only allowing the theory of theory of evolution in our science and nothing else, and not even a critical debate on intelligent design. What they've said is, this is what we've decided you're going to learn, and that's all you're going to learn. And you don't have a chance to hear or debate anything else. That is not learning. That is control. That is indoctrination. Most of our young people today, and even in the church, if you sit down and talk with them, you really have a struggle talking with them about creation, because they've just been taught there's no way, it doesn't exist. But they've never been given the chance to truly weigh the two options. I was the other day on Friday, I was doing the radio program, and I was talking about something way over here, and a caller called in with a question completely out of left field. And that question was, he said, I heard someone else on another show say they didn't believe in evolution. Pastor, how do you feel about that? Man, did he open a door. He kicked it open. Because there is so much material out there that young people can read, debatable material between evolutionists and creationists that they can debate and look at and make an intelligent decision for themselves. Why are we being kept from the debate? The best way to control people is to get rid of a debate. They have to be allowed to debate. Today, our creation scientists are not given grants, are not given tenure in colleges, are not given jobs. I've asked you guys before, if you'd like to receive the magazine Acts and Facts from the Creation Research Council. It's amazing. This is a magazine full of scientific articles written by scientists that debate these issues openly, where you can think and look. And you know what? For those of us that need a little bit of stimulus, it's even got pretty pictures. But it gives you that chance to debate. What's wrong with getting that and sitting down with your kids or your husband or your friends or your sister or whoever it is and saying, hey, listen to this article, I'm going to read it, and let's talk about it. But see, we're not even given that chance for debate today in our public forum. That is not the America I grew up in, where we debated openly and made decisions. That is controlling the narrative. And if you control the narrative, you control the person. See, this is something I want you to be aware of. And don't think that you can take your kids out and put them in a private school and everything will just be fine. Folks, that's the last thing that you want to believe. Because yes, many private schools are great. They teach great, but they're not all. We need to be on our toes. Honestly, the best way probably to know what your kids are learning exactly is to homeschool. But that's kind of off the table with a lot of people because of a lot of things, because of work schedules, maybe because you just really struggle with that ability to be able to do that kind of thing, or for whatever reason. So what I'm saying is there's so many options out there, and I'm not gonna pick one over the other, but what I am going to say is we need to be the ones that disciple. They're in charge of discipling our young people. It is so, so important. Another thing that they do. Yeah, Joe. Yeah, absolutely. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, another thing that seems to be happening, and I've watched this over the years in different ways, and even outside of the church, is that nostalgia seems to be going out the door. And it started with my kids' generation, and now it's really carried over into my grandkids' generation. When I was growing up, history was so important. Even if you didn't like it, it was important. You learned about your grandparents, your heritage, where you came from, the importance of that, the importance of knowing where we were as a country. You know, if you don't know your history, what do they say? You're doomed to repeat it, right? We need to know it and to know the truth of it. And as far as our families go, you know, it's important to know who my father was and what he did. I lost my father when I was 13. Well, I didn't lose him. He died. I know where he went. But I'll tell you something. I bet I know more about my father than a lot of people do today that have had their father for 30, 40, 50 years. Because I was interested. It was important to get out those family photo albums. It was important to talk about our family's church history. When certain people in our families came to the Lord, and there was on my dad's side of the family, there was a great change in the, I would say, in the 50s and 60s of, that would be 19, not 18, 50s and 60s of when that family made a great turn towards following Jesus. And we see that in the family, and that's something we know about. And we can look back at that as a wonderful time in our family. But what's happened is families become less and less important. Mom and Dad, I have to tell you, the narrative today is that you're good people, but you're just not quite as enlightened as we are today. And you believe a lot of foolish old fables that aren't important. Now, you got to love your mom and dad, but you can't trust their opinion. And if you think that I'm being dishonest or deceptive in saying that, truly, search for yourself, I'm not. I'm not talking about all teachers in all places. I know there's a great difference in the schools that we go to. Some schools that I know of have some pretty solid staff that are really bucking this system that's being pushed on them. And I've talked to teachers that have great difficulty in being forced to teach things that they know that isn't true. But there's some schools where the door's wide open and they want your kids' minds and they want their future. And it's the truth. Our young people are being taught that direction doesn't have to come from family and from parents, but direction comes from the school and the state. It's important what the school and the state tells you to do, and we are subject to the state. We're not subject to our parents. Let me tell you, young people, something very important. God ordained your parents as who you are subject to. It's your parents you listen to. But see, when you want to control society, you take that away. What's another way that it's being done? By taking God out of the picture. You know, growing up, I knew I was answerable to God no matter what I did. Even if I wasn't surrendering my life to Him, I knew that, you know, there was a God up there and He was a lot bigger than me and He knew a lot more than me. And I wasn't going to get away with too awfully much before I was going to wish I hadn't done it, because I knew God loved me, but God didn't want to put up with things I shouldn't do. I was brought up by parents teaching that, not just in church, but in home. And the other thing that I was brought up with God is to know that nothing was ever, I'm struggling for words today, nothing was ever doomed. Nothing was never over, because God was always there to pick me up or had an answer or a direction. That was the hope that we had that I see so lacking today. Psychologists will tell you today one of the biggest things that young people are lacking in life is hope for tomorrow. Hope for their life. This is why our suicide rate's so high. What child would commit suicide if they had any hope beyond tomorrow? Think about that. If they realize that things are bad today, but tomorrow they can be so much better. Excuse me. And God has a plan, why would they do that? They do that because they're at the end of their rope and they think there's just no point. That's what taking God out of our lives and our community does. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's not. Young people, I need to tell you that you're being duped. But see, there's a way around all this. And I just read it. Study to show yourself approved, an approved workman. I told this fellow that called in the other day that was asking about, you know, do you believe in evolution or creation? I said, you know, what I want you to do, and I gave him some outlets, go grab the material and search for yourself. Don't believe the narrative, the one-sided narrative. They say this is the way it goes. Do you know that's what they accuse us of doing? Of being narrow-minded, teaching our kids about God one way, and being closed-minded, because if we were ever open-minded, we'd believe what they do. But they take any option of the kids looking at another viewpoint out of the picture, so they're only taught one way. Don't be closed-minded, young people. Search the truth out. It's there. Do you know if you pray and tell God that you truly want to know the truth, He'll guide you to it. He promises that. Adults, the same thing. I beg you guys to study your Bible and to know it. I don't want to tell you what to do from this pulpit. I want to guide you to what the Lord says and let you search for yourself and know the truth in your heart. That's the only way you're going to do it. Unless you want to become a robot that marks it lockstep to whatever our government tells us to do. And we've seen some great examples of that lately, and I don't think it's going to get better. So, Pastor, you're being so negative. Can we please have a positive message today? Yeah, you can. Huh? Because we go from salt to light. Right? We're to be a light. And if you are discipled properly, and you learn to know the truth, and you know the truth, and you follow the truth, and you get emboldened to stand on the truth, you're going to be a light to a dying world. And as you become a light to a dying world, as you become a light to a dying world, that world's going to come alive. Young people, there's great hope. The question comes up sometimes, yes, but I'm only one person. One person becomes two persons. Encouragement can come from all kinds of places. How many times have people told me encouraging stories that I've then shared with you or someone else that they never even knew I shared it, and because of that they went out and did something well? Let me tell you of an encouraging story with one person. I heard this yesterday and it just really touched my heart. I want to share it with you. It's very happy. I was listening to a broadcast from the director of Preborn yesterday, which is obviously a life group. And he was talking about 13 years ago, they had a young lady come in a clinic, and she was going to end her pregnancy. And they talked her out of ending her pregnancy, and she didn't. And sometime in the last few months, I didn't get an exact date, this lady, this same young lady, 13 years later, walked into their church with her 12-year-old daughter. And at the end of the service, they both walked the aisle and said they wanted to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's one person and one example. God honors what we do for him. How in the world, if you don't believe that young people are being indoctrinated, how in the world can I talk with a young person in their early 20s, mid-20s, late teens, and them tell me that a baby at 8.5 months is nothing, but at 9 months outside of the womb is a wonderful little child? Folks, that doesn't even make sense. Medical sense, scientific sense, humanity sense, certainly not God sense. But yet they'll believe it, and they'll tell you that. And you know what they'll tell you? They don't want debate. I'm not going to. They don't want to argue about it. You know, I've seen this firsthand. Because a young adult or a teacher or a youth leader will come to me and say, "Hey, I've got this great movie we got to show the kids. You know, it deals with this particular subject they're going through, and they're being taught that they need to see the truth and see what's really being said about this. And this movie does a wonderful job of reaching them. And it's people their own age talking about it." And on and on and on and on it goes. And we'll schedule it for the church and to show it. And we're all excited. And guess what? The very kids that need it the most don't show up. Do you want to know why? Not because their parents didn't let them. They have been taught not to debate it. They've been taught that we're going to try and tell them differently, but we really don't know, and we're really not enlightened and educated. So don't go there. Don't let them twist your mind. How sad is that? So what's my answer to that? Don't give up. Don't give up. You come to the youth leader and say, "You know what? My child wouldn't watch this, didn't want to come, so we're going to watch it at home and talk about it." Pretty easy thing to do, isn't it? Huh? I think so. Folks, look, we can do it. We ask God to guide us and direct us to disciple our young people and our family and those around us and make that commitment to do it and do it. I had a discussion with my daughter yesterday, and I don't remember what we were talking about specifically that led into the conversation. But I made the comment that if you're under my roof and I'm feeding you, or if you're going to college and I'm paying, as long as you're under my roof, you're going to go to church because I told you that's what we're doing as a family. You're going to be there and you're going to listen. And when I want to sit down and talk to you about something, we're going to have that discussion, because let me tell you something. If you don't want me to be a parent, I guess I don't need to take care of you anymore. Bye-bye. Huh? Are we afraid of our kids? What's your greatest fear? Do you want to take a chance and do what I just told you to do? And maybe they'll come to know the Lord and have a wonderful life ahead of them. Or are you afraid that you'll scare them away? And what are you scaring them to? Towards Satan? Huh? See, I didn't worry about coming to church kicking and screaming when I was a kid. Because if I didn't do what I was told to do, I was going to be the one kicking and screaming. You know what I'm saying? Folks, you got to be a parent. God designed you to be a parent that disciples their children. He will give you the ability to do it. And we have to let our kids know that, you know what? We're smart. Oh, I didn't go to the fourth point of what you do when you control a nation and bring it down. Kids aren't going to like me when I say this. You dumb them down and make them believe they're smarter. Kids, I've read your books. There's no way in the world that you're getting a better education than my grandmother did. There is no way.
If you don't believe me, meet Pastor after church, and he'll show you some of the school books from 1850. You couldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Not math, not literature, not history, not any of it. They were educated, and they were taught to debate and to search things out. But see, you're being taught that's not what's going on, that we were dumb, that our grandparents just were uneducated hillbillies, Neanderthals. And what you're learning today makes you so smart. Do you know those 4 points I just mentioned? Do you know who wrote those? Karl Marx. And it's all being implemented today in our country. And this has been an effort that started with... Anybody know who Dewey is? Of course you do. You ever hear of the Dewey Decimal System? An early educator in our country? It started with John Dewey. It was back through Woodrow Wilson, our president. And it started clear back in the 20s. Well, Dewey was before that. And they've slowly taken over our colleges, our universities. See, your teachers aren't teaching you things that they know to be wrong. They're not doing anything malicious in their mind because, see, they've been brought up to the same, and they believe it. So it's just a continuation of what they're taught. Look, these are good people, and I love them. I'm not trashing anybody. Please believe that. I'm just saying you guys got to wake up and be aware of what's going on. If you want to have the same country we have now, you know what? I'll tell you guys something. Your mom and dads go out there. Some of them make really good money, and some of them make really good decisions about what they're going to do with their life and where they're going to live and what their goals are in life. And you, as teenager, make a decision, I want to be this in life or I want to be that in life. Let me tell you something. When you go down this road of socialism, it all goes away. Because the government then tells you what you're going to be in life, what you're qualified to do and what you can't do, and how much you're allowed to make, and where you're allowed to live, how much you can drive your car every day, what kind of car you can drive and what you can't. How about how many kids you can have? You're only allowed to have 2. You have any more than that, you're going to lose your job, maybe your income. You might go to jail. I don't mean to scare you. I'm trying to encourage you. Because what I want to tell you is, and I pray that every pastor in the pulpits in America is telling you this. Because you guys, don't worry about where we screwed up. We messed up, my generation and the one before, and some of the dumb things that we did. We can't go back and fix that. And if you want to stand there and point the finger at us as being the problem, you're never going to get over the problem, because what you've got to look at is what the problem is today, and it's your generation that has to stand up and say, Lord, guide me and direct me, we got to fix this thing. The blame game never helped anyone. The blame game never gets you ahead. It's the Lord, how can we fix it game. You know what I mean? We're being forced to look at the environment while we're losing our rights daily. We're being forced to look at how bad it is to leave a puppy in the cold, and yes, that's very bad. But let's just abort a baby at 8 months because mom decided she wants something different. Has somebody got messed up in the head around here or what? Huh? Let me tell you something, young people. You can change our world. I would love the generations, 2 and 3 generations from now, to look back and say, thank God for those kids of the early and mid-20th century that stood up and said, you know what, we're going to bring this country back to truth and what God says to do. And we're going to stand up and be a voice everywhere we are. You know, you say, I don't want to be a voice in my school, I'll be picked on. Let me tell you something, they're being a voice in the school. Don't you ever be afraid to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Guys, I've said this so many times, one with God is a majority. When you walk with God, you're in a majority. Huh? Oh, Pastor, you just don't know what I've been through. I shared in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about things that happen in our lives. You know, when I was 13 and my dad was killed, everyone kept talking about how tragic it was. And believe me, it was tragic. It tore me up for a long time. But what was funny was, kids, they talked about how young he was. And I thought, what are you talking about? He's an old man. He was 40.
So I guess he was a young man. But young people don't look at it that way. But I remember how tragic that seemed at the time, and my mom being left with kids and all the things that went with that. But I said that there was a shift that took place in my family at that point. And it wasn't necessarily anything bad my father was doing. It was just a family shift. I'll just leave it at that. And there was a shift that took place, and the entire future of my parents' family completely changed. And if we would have stayed in that place before, I think that so much of it would have not been serving the Lord like they are today. And I watched God work through all that and all the things that he did. And I have to be honest with you, I miss my father terribly. I still do to this day. And he's never met my wife. He's never met my kids. He's never met my grandkids. But I'll tell you something, I wouldn't trade what God did for the world, because I see what came out of it and the joy that I have today that was a direct result of that change in our lives. So yes, things can be very hard in your life. You can lose people. People can lose sick, get sick, all kinds of things. But I'll tell you something, God knows what he's doing. And what can seem like pain to us here on earth can end up being years and centuries and thousands and millennia in heaven of joy. And I know that. And if any of you think pastor's nuts, I want you to do something. I want you to start studying. I don't want you just to believe what I say. I want you to start studying. If you still think that, you know, oh, come on, you guys can't believe that there's not evolution. Trust me, there's not evolution. The day they discovered DNA was the day evolution went right out the window, because they don't fit. But you're not being taught that because they don't know what to do with it, so they just don't teach it. The fact that scientists today have suddenly realized that, uh-oh, this earth can't be more than 10 or 15,000 years old. Because we're losing a gravitational pull at a rate that if it was any older than that, we'd be noticing it on earth. If it was as old as they say, we wouldn't even be here. Because we're losing that much gravity every year. And if they follow it back, we'd have been gone a long time ago. But they don't tell you about that. They don't tell you about all the stratas in the earth and all the things that we see in the layers in the way that they are. And doesn't make sense. What could have caused that? Boy, it looks like something caused by a catastrophic worldwide flood. Amazing, isn't it? All I'm asking you guys is to study for yourself. Dig into it. Dig into it. You owe yourself that. See, I don't want you to be uneducated. I don't want you to be just following this is what they said to do, so I'm going to follow. I want you to be educated. I want you to be smart. I want you to look into it. Look into your history, see the truth of history. And there's all kinds of truths of history. Look into the truth of the history of the Civil War. That one will blow your mind. Of everything that was going on politically, there and after, look at Stephen shaking his head. Here's a Southern boy. You know what I'm talking about. Slavery was a terrible thing, wasn't it? Yes, it was. But the truth of where people stood during the time and what they did after that has not been taught to you the way that the honest truth that went. Folks, our history is being altered because of the greatness of many people that loved God that came before us. We've been the freest nation on this earth. We've been the only nation on earth where a child is born and can decide, when he's old enough to decide, this is what I want to be, and he can be it or she can be it. And we're going to throw that away because somehow we weren't good enough, or we were bad, or our forefathers were this or that or the other. Please, please, search diligently. Teach parents, I encourage you. If you want really good information, I can direct you to it. And it's not necessarily, people will say, well, pastor, that was written by someone that believes in creation. Well, of course, do you think the other wasn't written by people that believe in evolution? Hey, let's have an open debate here. Huh? How about the truth of the Word of God? All the prophecies. You know, I'll tell you something cool, something to tell you young people. It's really cool. If you take all the prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled through Jesus in the New Testament, in other words, things that were predicted and then things that actually happened, the odds, this is really cool, and I don't know how they do this on computer, the odds of that happening is about like taking a quarter, coloring it black, throwing it in the mix of 4 foot deep of quarters across the state of Texas, blindly reaching in and pulling it out and having that quarter. Now, those are some crazy odds. And how they did that on a computer, I don't know. But they took the odds of all that happening this way and exactly how it was done. And guess what? It's historical. It happened. This stuff in the Bible is historical. It's not Aesop's fables. It happened. And the more that we have more people that can dig into things scientifically, the more they're proving the Bible over and over and over. And the new things that come to light, it's amazing. Dig into this stuff. It's exciting. Not that we that have faith have to have it proven to us all the time. But boy, does it give us some confidence to go out there in the world and stand on the truth and say, wait a minute. You're calling me stupid. Look at this. You're telling me I don't know. Look at this. Teacher, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're supposed to be educating me, not indoctrinating me. And yes, he made them male and female. We have males and we have females. There is nothing in between. Crazy. I was filling out something the other day. And it said, are you male, female, or non-binary? I didn't even know what that meant. It sounded like something to go to the bathroom or something. I just kind of got out of there. Non-binary. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? When you're born, they pull you out. And if you don't know ahead of time about ultrasound, mom and dad are excited and say, look, it's a boy or it's a girl. Or, oh, man, it's a boy. But... But you are. Your personalities are different. You may be a guy that's have a little more feminine side your personality. Or a girl that's a tomboy. We had tomboys when we grew up. Yeah, there's one, aren't you? You're a pretty girl for a tomboy, I'll just tell you that. But she was a tomboy. A lot of you had tomboys, right? But they were girls. Huh? I've got some dear friends that are in their 70s right now, and he was actually a teacher of mine, and I, great man, wonderful man. He is very, if you're listening, Don, I'm in trouble. No, he's very, Don is very light, I'll put it that way, very, not overly masculine. I'll put it that way. But his wife, on the other hand, is a very, you know, they've been married for probably 50, I know they've been married 50 years, 50 plus. Wonderful marriage. They get along great. It works perfect. But she's a woman and he's a man. And they never questioned it. But they have a tendency that one wants to be, is more of a, probably a tomboyish person. And the other guy is, I wouldn't say he's feminine, but he's pretty light. Good. He's a dear friend of mine. But you understand what I'm saying? God made us the way he meant to make us. What are you laughing about over there? Uh-huh. No, you don't know what I mean. And you know what's really sad? You know what's really hurtful about all this? Is there young people that are being confused and being told it's normal and okay? And they're never satisfied with their life. It's not. What took them that way in the first place was something that needed dealt with. And in some way. And unfortunately, mom and dad can tell them the truth. Mom and dad can direct them in the right way. But unfortunately, they live in a society where they're told, if mom and dad don't agree with you, they're wrong. And this is the way that it can be and should be, and we know that it does not lead to happiness. But you know what? God loves them. God loves them. Just like everyone else that has sin in their life, God loves you. We like to pick on a lot of times the things that are obvious to everybody. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of us that have a lot of sin in our lives that isn't so obvious. Or maybe seems to be okay, so it's not pointed out that much. Folks, God sees sin as sin. And Jesus died for every bit of it.
He died for every bit of it on the cross. And it's us that got to say, yes, Lord. Thank you for dying for me, for taking my sin. Lead me, guide me, and direct me the rest of my life. We're going to have those thorns in the flesh. And yes, it may be a sexual thorn in the flesh. It may be desires that we shouldn't have. It may be monetary. It may be anger. Maybe illness. Maybe a lot of things. But even God takes those things and he keeps us with our eyes on him because of it. Many times if God would remove the thorn in our flesh, we'd be so self-confident we'd quit looking at him. But he keeps us many times in check because we have those. I do. I know there's things in my life that I think God keeps there to keep me humble. I really believe that. Because I've seen how I react when they're not there. And I get a little too confident. And when I get too confident, then I'm not on my knees. And when I'm not on my knees, things start going backwards. And I become unhappy. And things don't work. And then he's got to... Back on your knees, Steve. Huh? He'll do that to you too. It's best, the best thing can ever happen. Great discipline. Whatever needs done, trust God to do it. But young people, I want you to know something. God loves you so much, and he's designed your life with a purpose. Don't let the world come in and tell you differently. God can make you have a wonderful life, a life that has meaning and purpose. And you can raise a family with meaning and purpose, or you can stay single and have meaning and purpose. You know, Paul says it's actually better to stay single, if you can. But most of us can't. But let God direct your life. Don't let people tell you what to believe that isn't true. And I'm going to say this is the last one because this applies to all of us. This applies to husbands and wives and everyone and young people. Do not seek counsel from unbelievers. Do you hear me? Do not seek counsel from unbelievers. When you're struggling with something in your life, and when you're struggling with something in your marriage, and you're struggling with something in whatever it is, the last people that you need to take their advice and have a discussion about it with are people that have no chance of being directed by God. And if they're not a believer, they have no chance of being directed by God. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, God can direct them. But what I'm saying is, they're going to come from a position in their life of the world. And you need to counsel with people that come to you from a position as a believer and with God. I've seen more families break up because somebody took counsel with the wrong person. If you're having struggling with your marriage, why would you go seek counsel from someone that has been divorced 8 times? Boy, they're going to be good advice, aren't they? Huh? If you're a young person and you're struggling with sexual issues of maybe something that your girlfriend wants you to do, your boyfriend wants you to do, and you're struggling with the do's and don'ts, are you going to go to the kids in school that are pretty free with that and say, what should I do? You know what the answer is going to be. Go to someone that can give you encouragement and strength and say, you know what, stand firm and this is how I do it. I praise God for a couple young ladies that I knew in high school just a couple years ago. And I won't list their names, I don't embarrass them. But I remember them telling me with a pizza with Pastor one night. They said, Pastor, we've made a decision. Them and a couple of their friends had made a decision. They were going to go to no parties in high school. And they said, the reason we made that decision is because, first of all, the things that go on at parties, even if we don't do them, someone's going to say we did. And we don't need the influence. We can have a great time. And you don't want to know something that's really wild about those two kids? Even though those kids stood firm and did what they did, so they were unpopular, snobby little do-gooders, right? Nobody liked them. No, they were both on the homecoming court. Everyone loved them. But see, they stood firm and they didn't do what the world did and said, we're not doing what the world does. Don't believe the lie that you got to do what the world does to be popular, because you don't. And that goes for you, mom and dad, too. And grandma and grandpa. See, the whole point, I got to close. The whole point of what I'm trying to say today is we do not have to accept things the way they are today. We need to follow the Word of God and what God says. Let Him guide our lives, be the director of our life. And we need to teach and our kids to let God be the director of their life too. And then go out into a lost world and say, world, here's the truth. We're going to stand firm on the truth and we're going to reach people for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And don't think that any mistakes you've made, they'll think that, well, one of my kids is a lost cause. Don't believe it for a minute. I've seen lives changed and people that had already sat a horrible pattern in their life. And I've seen 30-year-old and 40-year-old people brought up by the most godly families and can totally reject the church, come back to the Lord and be on fire for Him. Don't you ever quit praying for them for 1 minute. God loves them. But I tell you this, His timing is not our timing. And we need to know that. But we stand firm and we have faith and we trust God. And I'll ask you to do this one thing before I close. Mom and dad, young people, church members, family members, please pray for your school teachers. Not only pray that the ones that don't know the Lord will come to know the Lord, but pray for those that are in the trenches that know the Lord and are trying to do what's right. And they're getting pushback everywhere, and it's getting harder and harder for them. Pray for our nurses and our medical people that are trying to do what's right and many times are pushed out the door because of that. Many times lose a job because they won't perform a procedure that they know God says no. People are struggling. Pray for them. Put others before ourselves. You know what? They can call us all the names that they want. But when we put other people before us, it ends the argument. Doesn't it? When we show true love, it ends the argument. Don't let people pigeonhole you into something they say is bad. Show them the opposite. God loves you. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. For everyone here. I pray, Lord, that those that don't know You will come to know You. Lord, it's just such a joy to know that You trust us and love us and You're there for us. And Lord, we've been pulled into believing so many things in this world that just don't end up as they should. Lord, let us not belittle people, cut on people, say bad things about people that aren't living as You should. But Lord, that we pray for them. That they would come to know the truth and know the joy of loving You. And it's Your name we pray. Amen.